This is a podcast from the Queen City Podcast Network.
Welcome to Sports Charlotte, the podcast about, what was that again? Sports in Charlotte. I'm Herb White.
Oh, yeah, I'm Cameron Williams, back again.
Absolutely. And so we're talking about sports in another week. But before we get into all of that, you know, March 11 is the start of legalized sports betting in North Carolina.
I'm giddy.
And you can celebrate the start of this by downloading the DraftKings Sports app today using the code QCPN. And it will score you up to $300 in bonus bets when you place a $5 bet once it goes live. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up with code QCPN to get up to $300 in bonus bets once mobile sports betting goes live.
Monday.
Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, coming soon to North Carolina on March 11th with code QCPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 877-1855-43 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only, new customers only, subject to regulatory licensing requirements. Maximum $300 in bonus bets not available for use until March 11th, 2024. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Deposit, wagering, and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC.
That was a mouthful.
Let's get started, okay?
QCPN, Queen City Podcast Network.
Absolutely. So the week that is, the week that was in sports, I guess the big news was there's a new talent evaluator.
New leader in town.
Absolutely, with your Charlotte Hornets.
Jeff Peterson, seemed like a very good guy, very down to earth, still a little wet behind the ears, which I think the
Hornets, 35, you're bound to be.
Well, exactly. I think that's what the Hornets are kind of looking for, but he might be young, but he doesn't lack experience. Been with the Atlanta Hawks for several years before being in Brooklyn the last 3.5 to 4. Brings a lot of energy to the Hornets organization, and they made it abundantly clear they want to be the premier NBA franchise. They got some work to do.
Yeah, because, well, there's only, what, three other teams that are worse in terms of record in the NBA? So they are literally trying to get up off the bottom of the deck. So what makes him such a good fit? You went to the press conference. You heard all the stuff that he was talking about, even though he kept a good chunk of it close to the vest in terms of specifics.
Yeah, he did. He's just got a charismatic draw to him. I keep going back to the young thing, but I mean, he's jovial. He's very easy to talk to. And while he answers questions in a way that he does keep the deep secret plans maybe close to the vest, he lets it be known. I'm going to come in. I'm going to evaluate talent. There were a lot of questions asked about reshaping the roster with the roster sitting right to the right of everybody. And, I mean, he was like, look, I'm very happy with the core group of guys we've got. We've got some veterans that have kind of been around the block. We've got a young core with LaMelo and Brandon Miller and things of that nature. But we've also got some young pieces like JT Thor, and I'm forgetting the other name he said, Trey Mann. But he seems like he's got a vision. It's all about taking the right steps to, you know, get that vision rolling. And I think it's good, but I also think cautious optimism is a word that, or is a term that gets thrown around about Charlotte sports a lot. And I'm cautiously optimistic.
Cautiously optimistic is thrown around here a lot because you need to be cautious, because teams around here will kill your optimism. But I don't know. I mean, I think the one thing that stands out about all this is that there is such a contrast between the new executive vice president of basketball operations and the now departing general manager. In terms of age, experience, maybe even basketball worldview, who's to say? But that to me, it signals a new day for the Hornets, because obviously the former ownership is transitioning out, whether it's by retirement or who knows what other machinations might be going on in this new group. And it can only be good, I guess, because we've already seen plenty of bad around this franchise. So how much further bad can you go?
Can't get much worse. But, you know, one thing about Jeff is, and co-chairs Plotkin and Chenal both said that he really checked all the boxes. And, you know, they interviewed a ton of candidates, and every time they would always circle back. You know, Jeff, he hit everything they were looking for. And so it's all about, too, do you trust the leadership? Do you trust the co-chairs to make these type of decisions? And I think one thing that really stood out to me just reading the press release is, you know, he's been involved in some big-time acquisitions and trades. In Brooklyn, you just look at the Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving acquisitions, Cam Johnson as well, but trading for James Harden. Whether that whole scenario worked...
I was going to say, how well did that work?
It didn't necessarily... Well, that's a whole lot of egos in one locker room. But nonetheless, he attracts talent. And he obviously got an eye for it, because you can't tell me you don't look at all three of those guys and wouldn't want them in Charlotte. But maybe not together.
Yeah, and so to me, that's the main thing. It's one thing to say, okay, this is a person who can evaluate talent, knows talent, but it takes more than talent to mm-hmm. become a championship team. You need to be able to bring people together and get them to work on the same script. And so that means you have to have a coach in place who can make that stew palatable, which brings up the other question that was sidestepped, and it's an obvious one. What's going to happen to Steve Clifford?
Yeah, definitely wiggled around. There's not a clear answer to that. He, like you said, he sidestepped it pretty good, but the question was posed, and he obviously knows Steve pretty well. But
yeah, because they worked together in Brooklyn.
They did. But I've always had, you know, differing opinions about Steve Clifford. I don't think he's necessarily a bad coach. I think he's ready to take a team to a conference finals or even NBA finals? Probably not. But that's why they get paid to make those decisions and not me.
Well, but even at that, I think the past ownership made the grave mistake of letting James Borrego go. I mean, I'm going to stick with that one until I can't stick with it anymore. Borrego was... He's the last coach to put together winning seasons in Charlotte. Yeah. So it's like, okay, well, why do you get rid of this dude to recycle somebody that you'd already fired? It's like, okay, help me to make that make sense. But that's the past. The past ownership that did that is no longer the majority owner. And so these new guys have an opportunity to wipe the slate clean. And we'll just have to see if the new executive vice president of basketball operations can pull this off.
I mean, it's a tall task. It's a ginormous task. I mean, I know that's not a word, but ginormous.
It is now.
It's going to be. You know, but just the sense of confidence he had, it kind of gave me a little bit of a peace of mind. Okay, this guy, he's not coming in knowing that it's not going to be challenging, and there's not going to be challenges about changing just the culture of this program. But timetable, not much of one. He made one thing clear: they're not going to skip steps. So
this is going to take a while.
Could be two, three seasons. Could be four or five.
Yeah. Well, they do have some assets. They've got all those draft picks, and they're going to be in the lottery again, which is a familiar spot. So, And I guess it all depends because, you know, if you stop and think about it, San Antonio is not that much better than the Hornets, but yet everybody raves about them because they have one player.
Well, that one player is averaging, like, over the last 2 months, 28 points and some odd double-figure rebounds and about 6 blocks a game. So I can see the hype.
But he's one dude.
That's yeah. I mean, Brandon Miller's one guy. Now, I mean, there's complimentary players. I'd say there's better complimentary players in the Hornets organization. I mean,
and that's
who's the next best player in San Antonio? Keldon Johnson or Devin Vassell?
Yeah.
So
I mean, and to that point, Brandon Miller at least has Miles Bridges.
Mm-hmm. They have LaMelo.
Well, sort of. If you can get him on the floor.
The man warms up before every game. Looks like he could go play the game.
Yeah,
there he is in his flashy attire.
In the civvies, yeah. So we'll see how that one turns out. It's going to be an interesting offseason because you've got the renovations that will be going on at Spectrum Center. You've got the new basketball ops guy who's reviewing the roster and the coaching staff from top to bottom. So I would imagine there's going to be some major changes on and off the floor with the Hornets.
And the coach here both made it abundantly clear they want this to be like a partnership. They're kind of taking the reins off of Jeff and letting him make those calls. Now, I mean, obviously, decisions before they happen are going to be ran by them, but they're giving a lot of they're putting a lot of trust in him. I'll say that.
Well, that's what you hired him for.
Yeah.
And if it goes great, give him a raise.
It seems different than the approach that Tepper takes with the Panthers.
Well, that is different. That is very much different. So, sticking with the basketball theme, the American Athletic Conference tournament is right around the corner, and the Charlotte 49ers have secured their double bye.
They're
on the verge.
They have got a 57-something% chance to get the 3 seed. A little bit less percentage to get the 4. But if SMU and Memphis both win out, and Charlotte loses to East Carolina, both SMU and Memphis, due to tiebreakers, would jump Charlotte and knock Charlotte out of the double bye.
So the...
They need to win.
East Saturday. Carolina game is a big game.
Win and in. Yeah. I mean, they're in the tournament, but win, you get the double bye.
Yeah. So, outside of that, what makes Saturday even... Is there anything that makes it even more important, or is it all about that double bye?
I mean, just looking at the storyline, I mean, right now it's pretty much all about that double bye. Yeah, it's East Carolina. It's an in-state rivalry. It's big. I mean, I know both fan bases. They love to hate each other. So there's that aspect to it. But they want that double bye bad. I mean, you don't want to be playing Wednesday. You want to be playing Friday. That's just always the goal.
And even at that, when you talk about tournament basketball, conference tournaments, there's always that running debate. Do you prefer the bye and the rest, or would you rather be immersed in playing immediately?
Rest or rust. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of coaches have different philosophies on that. Fern, in his super enthusiastic ways of talking, just he don't care. Whenever they play, they're going to play, and they're going to play their brand of basketball, which has been a lot more exciting, I must say, to watch this year than in the past couple of years. But
now the last couple of weeks, they've had those bumps in the road. Yep. Where they've absorbed some losses, maybe lost a little focus, got caught up in their own hype, maybe.
Yeah, the Tulsa loss stands out to me. That game, that was bad. Memphis, everybody knew Memphis was athletic. I mean, Lord, 15 offensive rebounds. Whew. Lost the rebounding battle in that game by 17 or 18. So that game, a lot of people were uneasy about from a fan, media, all that kind of perspective. But then they lose to Tulsa, and it's like, ugh. And then it was again. It's like, ugh, where's the disconnect? And that was my biggest thing. And when I'm you know, writing stories and whatnot, I'm trying to think, what's really been the disconnect here? And there isn't just one thing to point out. I know Lekhi Patterson hadn't had the best couple games here lately, but you know, in their bounce back game against Rice, Igor Milicic put up a career high, so it's they could be turning back in the right direction. I'm not gonna make a bunch of wild assumptions based on one game. We'll see what happens tomorrow. But win, get the double bye, and we'll see them play again not till Friday, because I believe the American Conference wraps up on Sunday. So
is this a pretty much a formula where Patterson and Milicic have to be good all the time for this team to have a chance?
Oh yeah, they're the 1-2 punch. They can't afford to for one of them to have a bad game. Both those guys need to be playing peak performance level come Friday or tomorrow, clearly, but whenever they play in the their first game in the American Conference tournament. Those are the two guys. And the complimentary guys, too, your Jackson Threadgills, your Nick Graves, they need to be big. They need to play crucial roles. And when Igor and Lekhi are on the bench, guys like Dean Reber need to step up big. DeSean Jackson needs to continue to be dominant like he's been, you know, in the paint. So all these things just need to come together at once. And obviously that's every coach's goal. But I don't think we've seen the best from Charlotte. And it's March. It's tournament time. Can we see the best for three straight games? Obviously tomorrow, but three straight games. And get to NCAAs.
Yeah, because the only way to get to the tournament, it would appear to be you've got to win the whole thing.
Yeah, they do. Those losses to Memphis and Tulsa and whatnot, that hurt bad. And so that pretty much eliminated any shot for them to get an at-large. And then you can even go back even further. Talk about the Davidson loss. Talk about the Stetson loss and the non-conference. That put a little chink in the armor, but the goal is to win games, and so if they win games from here on out, they'll get to the tournament.
Yeah. So we'll see about that one. We'll see about that. And soccer, making the transition. Charlotte FC still unbeaten. You know, for the first time after two games in franchise history. Now, granted, it's only three seasons. So, one win, one draw. It's a promising start, and this week they made some news in terms of acquisitions, where they signed Liel Abada, a winger from Glasgow Celtic. You know, I know sometimes you look at it and say, shouldn't it be Celtic? Celtic.
Well, it's the same Boston.
Yeah, and it's a deal, three seasons with a with an option on an extra year, estimated to be around $10 million. But it's a huge signing. It's for a young developmental, a young designated player slot, which allows MLS teams to go out and sign players from European and Asian or wherever, South American leagues, for more money than they would normally for homegrowns. So that's a huge deal for a team that is still looking to get that edge going to make a run at the Major League Soccer playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about a guy who's got 51 goals and, 112 matches for the Celtic. So, yeah, I mean, he's quick. I went back and I watched just a little bit of his game. Good dribbler. And, man, when he strikes it, he's got a boot behind it.
Yeah, he hits it with bad intention.
That's a way to put it. But very good player and just, you know, youthful, obviously, 22. He's someone that the crown can kind of rally behind. You know, fans will, I'm sure, will love it whenever he gets his first goal for FC. So it'll be interesting to see how this season kind of progresses and how he fits into the system.
Yeah, because when you start a season, you have your roster, and it's like, well, this is what we're going to start with. But in soccer, it looks like you know, and I'm learning this, that even as the season unfolds, you're constantly
adding
and subtracting and all the other things that go into that. But Charlotte has this young group of people that, you know, whether they are coming up from their MLS Next Pro club or Europe or wherever, you know, they are handing the keys over to these younger people, and Coach Dean Smith is determined. It's like, hey, I'm just playing the best people. I don't care what their age or experience level is. And it seems to be paying immediate results, which is good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to getting out to some games. Soccer is not one thing that I've, you know, covered a lot of, but it's a growing sport, and I mean, it's the world sport. I mean, you know, so I'm looking forward to it. I know a lot of my friends and buddies, they love going to FC games, so it'll be interesting to just get out there and really see how this team starts to gel. And like you said, with the ever changing kind of rosters, you know, how gelling is crucial in all sports, but especially in soccer, because I mean, you got to know tendencies, where this player likes the ball, that kind of thing. So, I can't wait.
Okay, so we'll see how that all turns out. There's always something that we're going to talk about, what's on the horizon and what's next. Tell me something that's next that we should keep an eye on, whatever it is, whether it's local
March,
or national.
Baby, it's March. It's time for the tournament. My most exciting just time in the year for sports for me is March Madness.
Really?
Absolutely. I growing up a diehard college basketball fan, this is what I live for. I mean, I've told the story about, you know, 2020 when the tournament was canceled, and I'm just like, that was like a weird state of depression almost for me. It was weird.
No hoops.
I mean, that's what you live for in March. I mean, that's what got you through March. March was in school anyway. March was one of those long months, even in like elementary school. It's like, oh, March. Because, you know, April, you know, spring break, all that kind of stuff, even though spring break for this year was really early. But, you know, you had Easter in April and all this stuff. And then May, it's like summer's right around the corner. But March was just that month. It's like, ugh. Basketball's what got you through.
So it was the hump month.
And then, yeah, I mean, and then 2020, it's like everything shuts down. I mean, March was the longest month ever in 2020.
Yeah. Well, and the good news, if you're in Charlotte, there's actually going to be a couple of rounds at Spectrum Center. So,
oh, I can't wait for that. Covering my first NCAA tournament.
You'll get accustomed to it.
First NCAA tournament, at least here in Charlotte. Yeah. I did go with Shaw's women's team when they made it a few seasons ago. But.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's wonderful. That's good stuff. For me, personally, it's the start of IndyCar season.
Yeah.
I love IndyCar racing. And I know we're in Charlotte in North Carolina where stock car racing got its start. And that's all fine and dandy. I like it. Don't get me wrong.
The best kind of racing.
Best kind of racing on the planet is IndyCar racing. Ovals, street courses, road courses. You have to be good at enough of those disciplines to win a season championship. And I'm just saying, I'm not gonna be a racing snob and say one is better than the other. But IndyCar racing is an exciting beast unto itself. They get started Sunday down in St. Petersburg, Florida. That's good. And you talk about best times of the year. To me, there's two of them. One is the start of football season. So you're talking about August/September. No matter who's playing, what level.
Everybody's
that's the best time of the year. The next one is the month of May in Indianapolis. That is some far out stuff. I mean, the speed, the crowd, you know, 300,000 folks up in there together. You know that's going to be a party. But anyway, I digress. First things first, get St. Petersburg out of the way. That's what I'm looking forward to this weekend.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Anything else? I mean, I've never been a big IndyCar guy, but I'm sure with you liking it, we'll be keeping up with it at the year progresses. I mean, maybe the NFL draft, kind of around the corner, but man, ain't nothing's gonna ruin my time with March. It's basketball season. We need to put a couple extra TVs up in the office so we can have a couple different games on simultaneously. But,
well, the computers will be cooking, no doubt, because folks will be watching games.
No doubt about that. MarchMadness.com, baby. We can pull up one tab, two tab, get the little four box thing going on. Yeah. Maybe five boxes. I might have to do a little bit of work, you know.
Yeah, but March and college basketball, it's a great time. There's no doubt about it. I enjoy it as much for the emotional content as the basketball itself. That's great stuff. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to the first and second rounds played over at Spectrum Center. That's going to be a lot of fun, too. Yeah. So I've covered quite a few of these over the years. And
so now you send me.
Absolutely. We will be there because that's what we do. This is the Charlotte Post. We cover everything.
We out there.
And we appreciate you listening to us at Sports Charlotte. You can check us out on the Queen City Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and just anywhere else where you're getting your content in terms of podcasts.
You can find us.
Yeah, you can find us. Oh, and SoundCloud as well. Also, check us out on our website, thecharlottepost.com, where you can find all of our sports reporting as well as reporting on other community news that is near and dear and important to Charlotte.
Quick little DraftKings plug for those that are just anxious to bet on Monday like myself, you know, and can't wait to just throw your money away.
Yes, so be sure to support that as well.
Yeah, locally, you got Charlotte plus 1,200 odds to win the AAC tournament. $10 if they win the AAC tournament wins you $120. And, you know, I'm sure we'll have some sports betting stuff going up on the websites eventually as that, you know, gains popularity. But not so much locally, but up in the Raleigh-Durham area and Chapel Hill. Duke and North Carolina, both NCAA odds to win the national championship, plus 2,300. $10 wins you 230 if either of those teams wins the national championship. So there you go. A little sports betting advice of the day.
Take it for what it's worth, but treat it responsibly.
Don't bet $100. I said 10. We're talking about eat lunch at home one day and go bet you $10.
Have you seen these prices lately? It's going to be more than 10 bucks.
Maybe 15 or 20.
Okay. So, for everybody at the Charlotte Post, I'm Herb.
I'm Cameron.
Thanks for listening.
QueenCityPodcastNetwork.com.